Here's a question. How do you imagine heaven? How do you imagine heaven? This is a chance for you to talk. This isn't one of those, I just need to sit there, moments. How does the world imagine heaven? Let's start there.
White and cloudy.
Thank you, Charlie. White and cloudy. Yes, that would be, yeah. How else?
Pearly gates.
Pearly gates, yeah.
Lots of singing,
yeah. Angels, harps maybe? The Philadelphia moment? Remember those adverts with the angels with the harps eating Philadelphia cheese? That kind of cloudy image, isn't it? That's how we often imagine heaven. We kind of think of clouds and white fluffy and gold and pearly gates and kind of everyone just kind of flying around and singing. And but this is how God speaks of heaven, or one of the ways God speaks of heaven. It's not quite like that. Revelation 21 verse 5 says, "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Now when God says he is making everything new, he does not mean he's going to just start all over again, that he's going to destroy this earth and recreate a whole new one. No, he means renew, restore. That's what the word new here in Revelation 21 verse 5 means. It's the idea of renewing, restoring. So that is, this is a picture that he's taken something that is broken and he's going to make it new. He's going to renew it. He's going to restore it. And he's going to make it better. And that's what God says he's going to do with this world. Let me show you what I mean. And to understand it, firstly, we're going to need to understand broken. Do you want to see something? Who wants to see something I've made? Come on, people, work with me. Here we go. Here's something I made. It's not the lectern. Thank you. This is my Lego City. Part of a Lego City that I have made. For those of you at the back who can't quite see, there it is. Now, here's the thing. I am this Lego City's creator, its maker. And I declare that this Lego City is good. In fact, it is very good. Now, because I'm the kind of loving creator, I want to share this creation with others that they may enjoy my Lego City. And I want to share it with people that I love, like my children, Nathan and Barney. Boys, would you like to share with it? Boys, what are you doing?
Breaking it if we want to.
Why are you breaking my... Why are you breaking my Lego?
Because
you want to.
Yeah.
Oh. My Lego City is broken. The Lego City that I created and made, that I shared with people I loved, and they broke my Lego City. That which was very good is now broken. And in many ways, that's what happened to the world, isn't it? God made the world. He made it. And how does he describe his world? He says it is very good. So Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he made and it was very good. And as part of his creation, he made us to enjoy and share his creation. And what do we do with it? We broke it. We did things our way, not God's way. Just like Nathan and Barney broke my Lego creation. And now we live in a world that is broken. Things are not as they should be. Oh, there's much to enjoy, but we know and we feel that it's not quite as it should be. So people get sick. They need doctors and hospitals. And people are hurt. They graze their knees and break legs and they're sad. And people cry. People upset them and say unkind things to us. People shout at each other. Brothers argue with each other. Sisters do not want to share or play with each other. And loved ones, family, friends, die. I mean, the earth is not as it should be. And so there are storms that disrupt and flood homes. There's volcanoes that erupt and destroy whole cities. And big tidal waves that kill hundreds of thousands of people. And earthquakes that harm and scare and kill. And animals turn on us and harm us and sometimes even kill us. And we harm them and mistreat them. The earth. It's not as it should be. And just in our little town of Hayward's Heath, we see how things are not as they should be. So you walk down the road and you see houses that are fallen down and windows that are smashed and walls that have been written on and weeds and brambles that cover whole gardens and stinging nettles that sting you as you go and fetch your ball. We live in a broken world, don't we? Oh, there's much good, there is much to enjoy, but we all know it's not as it should be. That all these things aren't what God had wanted and made to be. There's plenty that is just not good. There's plenty that is ruined and spoiled. It's broken, just like my Lego. Oh, we can still see glimpses of what it should be like, but it's broken. And it's been broken by us, by our sin, by our turning away from God. So what next? Well, that's that Revelation 21 verse 5, isn't it? It's to be restored, renewed. See, here's the thing. As creator of my Lego city, I have a choice. I could just start over. I could go over here. I could get my very big blue box of Lego. And I could just say, you know what, I'm going to forget that Lego, broken Lego city. And I'm going to build a whole new one. I'm going to destroy that one. I'm going to build a whole new one with my big box of Lego. I could do that, couldn't I? I have that choice as the creator. Or I could take the bricks, and I could fix this one and put it back together again, renew it. But you know what? I could go one better. I could make it better because I could make it stronger so that if I shared it with my children ever again, they wouldn't break it. So I could super glue. Extra strong. Not going to happen. It's not going to break, is it? So I'm just going to... Don't tell the boys. So there we go. We stick that. And those bricks, not my fingers, those bricks are never coming apart. Again, you see, I could start to build it and put these and do the rest of everything else and make it stronger. But then I could think, well, do you know what? I could make it even better. I've got all of this. I could just add to it and make it even more amazing. So I could start building extra bits onto it. Like this. And you know what? Because now I'm getting into this. Not only have I fixed it, I'm kind of making it better. I'm going to add a few extra bits like, oh, I don't know, trees. And little ones over here. And pretty little flowers. Because that makes it just more beauty, doesn't it? And do you know what? I'm going to throw in a dog in there as well. And because I love pizza, I'm going to put in a table with pizza on. Yeah, get in there. Look at that. Look there. Things are looking good. And there's going to be little people in there to play with. Look at that. And a Star Trooper, because that's just cool. Do you see, now I have made, not just made it better, not just fixed it, but I've made it better. I've made it even more glorious. And for those at the back, if you can't quite see my amazing... There it is. Thank you. No clap. Disappointed. There it is. My amazing creation. Now much stronger, built with super glue, never broken. And fixed and made more amazing. Still the same, but better. Still the same creation, but better. And do you know what? In many ways, that's what God does with his creation. Do you remember what God said about his creation? How did he describe his original creation as? Not just good, very good. And because his creation was good, was very good, he will not destroy this earth. He doesn't go to the big Lego bucket. No, he makes everything new in that he restores it, he renews it, he fixes it. So he'll get rid of all that is bad, all that made the world broken, and he'll fix it, he'll mend it, he'll make it much better, he'll make it stronger so it'll never break again. And he'll make it even more amazing. And so we read in Revelation 21, verse 4, that he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order has passed away. You see, when God fixes this world, there will be no more sickness, no doctors, no hospitals. There'll be no more death, no graveyards. There'll be no more pain, because we'll have bodies that work and do not get old and do not require operations. Bodies that are perfect, that are fixed, they're made better, they're stronger, they never break, and they're made more amazing. And there'll be no more tears when God fixes things, or arguments and fights, because we'll love perfectly. We'll always want to be kind to one another. We'll never say an unkind word. He'll fix what is wrong with this broken world. All that is wrong will be no more. Same world, same bodies, but fixed, made better, stronger, so we'll never break again, and more amazing. And there'll be no more floods or storms that cause damage or volcanoes that erupt and destroy or tidal waves that kill or earthquakes that scare or animals that will harm us. They'll be fixed. They'll be made better, stronger, so they'll never break again, and more amazing. In fact, the Bible says animals will not harm each other. The Bible says that the lion and the lamb, oh, no more, the lion and the lamb will lie down together. That which once the lion ate, he'll lie down with, and that which once the lamb was scared of, he'll sleep next to. And weeds and brambles will be gone, stinging nettles will be removed, because that which is fallen down and smashed will be fixed. Everything will be restored. It'll be made new. Same world, fixed, stronger. So it'll never break, more amazing. And you see, it's because it's this world, this earth, that is renewed. All that we enjoy and delight and love in that is not sinful will be here. So there will be sport. There'll be football and rugby and basketball and ice hockey and baseball and all sorts, even cricket. And no one will cheat. Competition will be competition. We won't have to remove it because we're afraid of upsetting someone. We'll just compete and we'll all enjoy competing, and it'll be a good thing. It'll be better. And there'll be technology. There'll be iPads and iPhones and MacBooks. Not Windows, because that's just not good. Because it will be better. And here's the thing, the technology will always work. And there'll be no viruses, and we won't have to keep updating or thinking that I need better, because we'll have the best technology. And there'll be cars and planes and boats, and they'll never break down. We'll never have to spend hundreds of pounds fixing them. And there'll be no accidents in the planes or the boats or the cars. And there'll be books and poems and music and drama. And there will be animals and flowers and trees and mountains and valleys and lakes. And none of it will ever get spoiled by litter or pollution or dog poo. And there'll be adventure and thrills in heaven. And they won't ever get ruined because they don't quite meet what we were hoping for. You know, it's like you're on a day out and you're really looking forward to it, but at the end of the day, you just feel a bit sad because it rained or the ride you really wanted to go on was closed. Now, in heaven, the adventures and the thrills will be exactly as they're meant to be. We'll never be disappointed. And work in heaven will be that which we enjoy. And there'll be friends in heaven to laugh with and eat with and hang out with. Friends who won't ever say an unkind word or push us over or just leave us on our own. We'll have perfect friends. See, it's the same earth, but better. Stronger, so it'll never break, and more amazing. See, if you want to imagine heaven, you imagine this world restored and renewed and made better. You imagine this world, this earth, better. Just like my Lego. Better. Stronger. More amazing. And you know what, heaven, it's not that it's just restored or renewed. It's perfect. Perfect. Now, what could make my Lego perfect? Me, the creator, being part of it. Living and hanging out with my Lego men friends here. Here is me, as a Lego creator. Here's me in a Lego city. Coffee cup in hand. I got a little bit carried away. And I found another one. There's me with a Bible. Nearly with my hair right, I think. Me, the Lego creation, hanging out with my Lego friends in my Lego city. Perfect. And what makes this world perfect, this world as it should be, not just that it will be restored, but that God dwells and lives once more with his people. So Revelation 21, verse 3. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. See, what makes a restored, renewed earth even better? Doing all that we enjoy, all that we delight in, all that we were made to do, and doing it in the presence of God. Doing it all for his glory and his praise, his delight to please him. That's what makes heaven perfect. That's what makes it new. It says not only will it be fixed, but we'll live with God. Imagine. See, the Bible says we have God's Spirit living within us now, and we know he's here, but we can't see him. But imagine a time when we'll be able to see God, to be with him, to live in a world, this world, made new, better, with him living with us so that we can see him, touch him, that he'll wipe away our tears. But how can we be certain that this world will be renewed and that we will dwell with God? Because of Jesus. See, the problem that meant the world was broken and that meant we could not live with God was our sin. It was because we chose to do things our way, not God's way. It's like when your mum and dad say, don't do it this way. But you know what? Hey, you know better, so you do it the way you want to do it. And what happens? It all goes wrong. Because you decided to do things your way. You disobeyed. And when we decide to do things our way and not God's way, we disobey. We sinned. And it all went wrong. And the world was ruined and spoiled. And we can no longer live with God and no longer be friends with God. Just like when you disobey, your parents punish you, so God must punish us. But Jesus died to take that punishment. So that we would not have to. And because he did, the problem that ruined everything, sin, had been dealt with. So that those who believe in Jesus can can live with God once more. And such is God's love for us, that he then promises to restore all things for us, to make things better, to remove all signs of our sin and its effect, to fix what we had broken, to make all things as they were meant to be forever. And we can be certain that it will happen because of Jesus. That's why John can write Revelation 21 verse 5 that this is trustworthy and true. That we can believe it because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the resurrection. What next? See, how does what we've seen about the heaven to come compare with what we were thinking about at the beginning with clouds? Hands up if you think it's worse. Hands up if you think it's better. Okay, I'm not convinced everyone, but a fair few, 90%, that's all right, we'll go with that. I want to say it's oh so much better. It's got to be better than sitting in clouds, isn't it, and playing harps. It's this earth made better. All things that we enjoy made better. And if it's oh so much better, you're going to want to be there, aren't you? You're going to want to make sure you will be there. And the only way you can be there is by believing in Jesus, by asking him to take your punishment for your sin, to remove the problem that broke the world, so that you can now dwell with God and be with him in this amazing new heaven. And if we ask Jesus, if we say sorry, here's the thing, we can be certain that we will. And that we'll be there enjoying this restored earth with him forever. And secondly, and finally, if we know we're going to be there, it's going to change our thinking, our behaviour now, isn't it? But the truth is, it often doesn't. It often doesn't change me. It often doesn't make me think about how I should live now or how I should think now or behave now. Because the truth is, if you're like me, I often don't think of heaven enough. Or when I do think of heaven, I think of it wrongly. I keep imagining it as clouds and life is a bit boring. And it's easy to do because that's how all the films do it and that's how the world portrays it, and so we kind of keep thinking that's what it's like. And I don't know about you, but when I imagine heaven like that, I just don't get excited. In fact, I dread it. I don't want to be there in a heaven which is full of clouds and harps. And of course, therefore, I end up wanting to be here more, and so I put all my energy into living now rather than thinking about what is to come. Because I like things here. But if I think of heaven rightly, as the Bible speaks of it and teaches, well, then I get excited. Then I want to be there. Then I want to be with God for eternity in a world that is like this one, but better. And then when I think like that, then it starts to make me think how I want to live now and live in light of that future hope. And the first thing it makes me want to do is I want to tell my friends and family, not because I don't want them just going to the other place, hell, but because I really want them to be in this most exciting place with me for eternity. So I want to tell them, and I want to tell my family, and I want to tell my friends, and I want everyone to know. And thinking of heaven right will also change how I think of things now, how I use my money, how I use my time, what I do with my life. Because I know that this world is not all there is. And I'm looking forward to something much greater and better. And so I'll willingly give away my money to help others know about Jesus. And I'll willingly use my time now to serve others and tell people about Jesus. And I'll give my all because this life is not all I have. There is something oh so much better. The truth is, there are days when I visit my younger brother, and between us, I get a little jealous. As I walk around his mahoosive house with acres of land and horses in the fields, as I see his massive jumbo telescreens with Sky TV, and I see his really big flashy car, and I see how he sends his children to a really big posh school, and I know that every time he goes on holiday he turns left as he goes on the plane and not right. And as I get a little jealous. And then I have to say to myself, this world is not all there is. And that to spend your days telling people about Jesus is a great way to spend your days. And it's a great way to spend your time. And it's a great way to spend your money. Because we're looking forward to something oh so much better. And sadly, right now, my brother doesn't have that hope. So this world is all he has. But you see, believing in heaven changes how we think and behave. Do you have a right view of heaven? Are you excited by heaven?